Blog Talk Radio.
Listen and learn.
Love seems happy.
That once was strong,
but you see society.
Even that's turned wrong.
Times have changed.
Hey, it's cool to look bummy and be a dumb dummy and disrespect your mommy.
Have you forgotten?
Who put you on this earth, huh?
Who brought you all proud?
And who loved you since your birth? Reward is a brainwashed kid going wild. Young little girls already have a child.
Bad company.
Hey, now you've been framed.
Your parents
are hurting. Hurted and ashamed.
For ruining yourself.
And your mommy can't cope. Hey, little kids, don't follow these dopes.
As a rule from a non-fool.
Your life don't drool. Don't be a fool like those that don't go to school.
Get ahead
and accomplish things. You'll see the wonder and the joy life brings.
Don't admire people.
Hey, they don't admire you. Their time's limited, hard rock too. So listen, be strong, scream whoopee-doo. Go for yours, cause dreams come true.
And you're making mommy
so proud of you too.
And this is the message
that the ruler, you know, Rick threw, you know, and it's true.
You know what?
Walk straight, master your high.
Why?
Because you make your family cry. And all jokes aside, are you in good health?
Hey, little boy,
now have you really checked yourself? You're a disgust. You know someone that I can trust.
You'd steal my wealth.
And you'd run and buy some dust and
lunch,
big shot, you're not. Your friends are talking and I'm hearing that your girls are what? You didn't know? Go steal and rob.
And while you're at
go
it,
get a suit for a job. You see, you're acting like this urge is demanding.
I'm always up.
Have some understanding. Society's a weak excuse for a man.
It's time for the
now it's time to take the stand. Believe it or not, the Lord still shines on you. He
guides you.
And he watched you as you grew. Plus,
at the age of
a little child, that's true. But folks your age don't act like you do. So
be mature.
And put the boy to a halt.
And if you're over 18,
I wish you'd act like an adult. That the ruler Rick threw, and it's true.
You know what? We like to party, party. You know what?
Hey, young world, the world is yours. Hey, young world.
Enhance your mind. Recharge your spirit. Awaken your soul. Enhancing Awareness Radio. enhancing awareness with clarity.
All right, guys, greetings. Happy day, right? Thank you for tuning into this episode broadcast of Grand Rising Motivation with Haru the Oracle. I am Haru the Oracle. I also go by Keith Boyd, whatever you choose, but that's me. Well, that's my persona, let me say that. That's my spirit persona. And, today we're bringing you Grand Rising Motivation. Today's topic is going to be about the hidden power of feelings and emotions. This is a very powerful one. Like all my shows are very powerful, but this is very powerful because when it comes to feelings and emotions, this is something that we choose to suppress. This is a life class that we kind of don't do too well in, and we have to retake it in repetition. You know, but repetition is the mother of all skill, so that's okay, right? So what I do on these segments, on these random segments, these segments are pretty much, the way that the universe is leading me to do these every morning at 10 a.m. That's what the universe says, do these every morning at 10 a.m. Excuse me. So I'm going to make it a point to attempt to do these every morning, but please don't quote me on it because I am so busy with being the founder and producer of the show and helping all, 12 hosts that we have now. So, you know what I mean, our guys, please don't depend on this inconsistency. You know, as I am moved to do them, I will do them. So here we are, though, you know, this morning, and I'm thank you for everybody who has liked the post, shared the post, and everybody who is tuned in. We have a wonderful we have a wonderful host lineup, you know, and I mean, guys, immaculate things, you know, that we have already been doing and that we, you know, plan on doing. And, you know, we're going to have Enhancing Awareness Presents, you know what I mean, our first retreat this year. And I was on a call this morning with our executive assistant, Lisa Van, and she, you know, we were just going over the retreat, and I mean, I am just so excited, you know what I mean, about the things that Enhancing Awareness Radio has in store for you guys. I mean, it's just amazing. So please be sure that you follow our Facebook group. It's going to be in the show notes. If you need to contact myself, my information is there. If you'd like to book a reading, you know, I am an oracle and I do reading. My website is also in the show notes, enhancingawareness.net. You can check out my services and you can book with me with one of my profound sessions. You know, you can also find me on Facebook, intuitive energy readings by Haru, and you can check out my reviews, all that good stuff, you know. So it's just been grand, just a grand experience helping you guys. I mean, I truly enjoy helping people, you know. That's what I just love to do. And I mean, I started out doing it without getting paid for it, you know what I mean? I mean, I don't even have to get paid for helping people, but I mean, it's a bonus, you know, to helping people. Even at this show, you know, they don't pay us to do all this, but we do all this because we love humanity and we love what we do, honestly, you know. And I mean, the immaculate, we have a team, guys, like literally a small business that we have going here, you know, and we do it out of love for the people, you know what I mean? I mean, that's how passionate we are. So thank you guys for, you know, just joining us in that, right? All right, so how we do this is pretty much I choose a lecture, and this was in the vault. You know, I don't know if you guys know Minister Ju, and I'm having a brain freeze with his name, but I know Underground Railroad was his Blog Talk Radio station, but Brother Rich, you know, shout out to Brother Rich. You know, I've been following him for years. He has, you know, brought a lot of great things to the community. Brother Panic, you know, rapper BLB, Bobby Hammett, you know, Phil Valentine, you know, just a lot of brothers that I looked up to, you know what I'm saying, as I was coming up early in the game, you know, that I just sat back and observed and studied, you know what I mean. I haven't met any of them, but, you know, they definitely inspired me. And this YouTube was definitely one of my – I actually use this YouTube in my sessions. You know, I give people summaries upon request. And this one was, you know, when it comes to feelings and emotions, you know, Mr. Ju broke this down very, very elegantly, and I just loved it, and I want to share with you guys this morning. Now, this lecture is an hour long, and I do know that we have ADHD in this society. So it's okay, you know, if you can just get some nuggets, you know, and then, you know, play it back later. But if you're in a space where you can just truly sit down and just listen to this and take notes, that's what I'm going to be doing too, because I didn't listen to it last night when I uploaded it because I hadn't heard it in a while. And I just, you know, I'm going to get refreshed and motivated too to start my day. I mean, today's New Year's Eve. For the, you know, Western society people who still celebrate this holiday, right? But, you know, a lot of us know that the spring is in the equinox, you know, in March. But, hey, you know, it is what it is. Be great, you know, and as long as you're happy, right? All right, so we're going to jump right into the lecture. Again, this is called The Hidden Power of Feelings and Emotions by Minister Ju. The YouTube link is definitely going to be in the show notes. And, yeah, guys, I hope you enjoyed this just as well as I enjoyed handpicking it for you guys, you know, to give you some motivation this AM. Really, really good. You know, it's from our brothers, you know what I'm saying, our melanated brothers, you know, who are bringing you this wisdom. So, yeah, guys, enjoy. Peace and love, and then after we do the lecture, I'm going to come back with some of my takeaways. And, hey, if you have some takeaways, you know, that you want to share and that you just want to call and speak to me and just say thank you, whatever, the call-in number is going to be area code 929-477-3423. If you want to come on air, please be sure that you press 1 so I can see you in a caller queue. If you do that and press 1, I will bring you on just to see if you're just listening or if you want to come on the show. So if you're just listening, please do not press 1. But if you want to come on, please press 1. All right? All right, guys. So we'll be back after the lecture. Again, this lecture is an hour long, but I will still be here and we'll come back. All right, guys. Peace and love. We'll be back.
Peace, family. Welcome to another episode of Underground Railroad Productions, Underground Railroad Radio. I am your host, Brother Rich. I'm back. Second time on the show. Minister Ju, what's going on, brother?
Hey, what's going on, Rich? How you feel?
Everything is absolutely perfect, Minister Ju. Absolutely perfect. And I'm trying to stay on that frequency right now. But,
That's right.
I'm glad to have you. You know, the particular subject we deal with, like I said the first time, you know, it's close to my heart, and we're dealing with a heart subject today. We're dealing with the power. I want to talk to you about this power, the power of emotions and feelings. And the reason why I want to talk about that is because emotions and feelings are key element when it comes to manifesting your reality or manipulating this hologram we call, you know, third dimension or space-time reality or whatever word you have for it. It's a very key ingredient. But you know what, Minister Ju? It's got a bad reputation. And that's what I want to start out by talking to you about. Anytime you talk to anybody about emotions, you know, let me just speak from my personal experience, since everything is subjective. My personal experience coming up, learning what I had to learn, emotions always got a bad reputation, like, oh, you got to suppress emotions, oh, you can't be emotional, oh, you can't show emotions. They always said how emotions was a very low vibration. When you become emotional, it's a real low vibration. Then when I did more and more research and study, I see how important it is, and I couldn't. And I'm like, well, damn, why do people think so bad of somebody who might be emotional? So why do you think emotions and feelings, before we really get into it, why does it have such a bad reputation if you're an emotional person?
Oh, man, that's a great question. well, you know, society in a certain way has implemented that amongst the people, man, especially for men. It's always been man shouldn't show his emotions and yada yada yada. But I think on a deeper level, outside of you know, some of the outer influences, shall we say. I think subjectively, I think we're all aware that we're God on some level, whether it be to the most grandiose scale or down to the most minute level of that, of your being awake to that level. And I think that because we're not using our emotions constructively to build the reality that we want, right, then something inside of us is almost like, well, no, don't use them. Don't use them, because you don't know the power and the potential that it has. So it's almost like a safety valve, I would kind of say, like, because we're so used to seeing so many negative things that we express these things in a negative light. You know, we're always feeling bad. We're always seeing bad news. People always make references to what they would rather not have versus what they would have. So it's like this switch that's in the inside of us that's like, listen, you don't know that these are the things that's going to propel good or bad into your reality. So how about we just freeze that? You know what I mean? That's what I think is going on internally. But tonight I kind of want to discuss how we don't have to walk that path anymore and actually use these feelings and emotions regularly to create the objective circumstances of our lives.
I think that was an excellent, when you said we look at it as a safety valve. I think you're definitely right about that. Sort of a better to be safe than sorry kind of mechanism, since we don't know how to use it. Because you're right, whenever we do hear the word emotional, you hear about a man shooting up the bank out of rage, or, you know, somebody killing somebody out of rage. So is somebody doing something out of rage? So you're absolutely right. When we talk about emotions, that's often the first thing that comes to a person's mind. What's the difference, Minister June, between feelings and emotions? Or is it just wordplay?
From my perspective, I think it's just wordplay. You know, you feel, you know what I mean, and that causes you to emote. It's a simultaneous two-step. They're entangled together in the language of the quantum. They're entangled together. You can't have one without the other. And I think that primarily it's just a play on words, and that those two things are connected at the hip. And the emotive part is what gets you to express how you feel. You know what I mean? That's generally what you project out to the world, how somebody else is viewing exactly what it is that you're displaying, for them to see what your temperament is. But feeling is the part of you that is the most sincere, the realest aspect of what's going on in your being at the deepest level of who you are. And a lot of times what tends to happen is, I mean, you see it all the time. People say certain things, and then other people respond based off how they feel, but it doesn't necessarily mean that that's what that person said or that's how the message was relayed. So somewhere deep down in who we are and what we are, we're contextualizing based upon our own experiences, things that have happened before, things that we've seen happen to other people, and we kind of generate a feeling based upon our own perception of what we think somebody's trying to express to us. So that's the deeper level of what we are, is the feeling aspect.
When you hear somebody say, you know, you got to trust your gut instinct, is that a word, for a lack of better words, they're saying trust your heart or trust that inner feeling?
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's exactly what it is roll with your instinct. It's interesting that you say that, because it's a brain part called the amygdala that actually deals with these type of temperaments, you know, and this particular brain part, sometimes they say it's so easily stimulated, right? It takes the least amount of electricity to stimulate this particular brain part, that they say sometimes people don't even stop to think when they make a reaction or they're responding to something. And a lot of times that is because, you know, you're always dealing with this fight or flight, and sometimes you need to be able to make a decision without really processing the data from the instinctual part of yourself, you know, to survive or to keep it moving or to make the best decision in the moment. So absolutely, going with your gut is just like, you know what, this is what just feels right to me, so I'm going to make this decision based off that particular medium.
So would you say it's safe to say that we need to start thinking with our heart and less with our brain?
I think what needs to happen is we have to use both, because they go together simultaneously, just like emotions and feelings do. You can't have an objective reality without the imagery that you're going to generate from your mind or your brain, the faculties and the structures that actually operate in the brain, and the feeling component coming from your heart saying, you know, I'm sincere about what it is that I'm seeing in my mind's eye. I really have the passion to propel this idea to where it needs to go. Then you're not going to see it show up in your objective reality as a complete image. You can't have one without the other.
Now, science has been able to detect that the heart communicates information to the brain throughout the body through electromagnetic field interactions, just like you said, and that they also have figured out that the heart generates the body's most powerful, inexpensive rhythmic electromagnetic field. Compared to the brain, the electrical heart field is about 60 times greater in amplitude and about 5,000 times stronger. Its magnetic ability components is about 5,000 times stronger than the brain's magnetic field, and that it can be detected real far away from the body when they use, you know, these what do you call it, magnetometers or magnetometers, real sensitive ones, they can detect it. So they have these satellites. It's an acronym, GOES satellites. I forget what it stands for. You can just type in G.O.E.S satellites. That's set up around the, you know, the country and the planet. And they're constantly measuring the magnetic field of the planet. And they found out around September 11, which is probably one of the most, you know, in the last 50, 60, 70 years, one of the most memorable days in this country because of what happened. And people from all over the country and the world experiencing something, they find out that, and particularly on that day, minutes, about 30 an hour, 60 minutes after the World Trade Center got hit, they found that the magnetic field of the country was affected tremendously, and they was wondering why there was these dips in it and these spikes and everything. And they figured out that the electromagnetic energy from the people were changing the magnetic field of that region. So with that being said, if we have the ability to change the magnetic field and alter reality just through our emotions, you sent me a picture of the Mike Brown vigil that leads to that. How do events like, in particular, I'm focusing on the black community, what we go through on you know, on a day-to-day basis, what we've been seeing this year in particular, what do events like Mike Brown, Eric Garner, and these events that we see happening, how do you think do you think we're emitting the right emotions, or are we causing more of the same thing to happen because of the anger that we're emitting or the rage that we're emitting? What's your take on our emotional response to these particular events?
Well, that's a two-pronged question, man, and I'm going to answer the best I can. First of all, when you generate these feelings or these emotions, right, in your field, in your body, they can be used to propagate whatever you want them to propagate with selective intent, and that's key. Now, if we don't recognize how to tune in, right? Because remember, in the quantum world, there's unlimited possibilities and probabilities, right, Rich?
Right.
So inside of that, if we know that, then we can choose, if it's collective enough, we can choose how we're going to take that magnetic energy that we are generating from our hearts into this quantum field and decide what event we want to see take place on this planet. Now, in the Mike Brown case, it's interesting. You saw on his tombstone, it read, Star Power Prayers. That's what it reads on the tombstone, okay? Now, I interviewed his cousin, Joanna, about a week after he was killed down there. And I asked her, I said, do you know who left the tombstone there? She said, no. I asked around, and nobody knows who put that there. Well, Rich, those type of moments in history, and since we're specifically dealing with the sector of people called black people who are looking for a response on how to deal with these particular situations. When you understand that collectively, when you have these heightened levels of emotion, if everybody is on the same pitch and they go in at the same time, it's a phenomenon that happens, Mitch, where when multiple electrons, right, which are quantum particles, when they get stimulated at the same time, and inside of the law of correspondence, let's just say it's 200 of us who are in the same group, who seeing the same thing with this whole Mike Brown thing, and we decide to take that controlled level of emotion, whether it be anger or whatever it is, and we decide that we're going to tune in and drive that current, we can make events happen on this planet. But you have to be very specific about what you go in into that wave and pull out. So when electrons get stimulated, that 200 of us who are acting as electrons in this world, as human beings, when we stimulate through that emotion, you create something called lasers, Rich. When electrons get hot together in the same location, vibrating to the same pitch, they create what you and I know that science calls lasers, and lasers can be used as targets. So without me going into too much detail on air, when these type of events happen, you can use that control level of emotion and feeling in order to generate circumstances in the objective world once you tune in into that type of reality.
That's some deep stuff there. It's a whole other approach to dealing with these situations instead of being reactionary, I guess, huh?
And I want to say this, too. I'm not talking from theory. I'm talking from practice. Like, you know, this has been demonstrated time and time again. We've been blowing the horn for about 2 years on this particular phenomenon, and I'm going to go on the record and say the ancestors of our people are facilitating some of these events in order for you to get riled up emotionally, but you keep on discharging the energy in an inappropriate manner because you don't understand the quantum world. It's not going to come through any other medium. You're going to have to tap into the unknown side to create events in this reality. And I give you an example. It was a case in China in this medical hospital that deals with nothing but organic healing. And it was a lady who was at the hospital bed, and she had a tumor, some type of cancer, if I'm not mistaken. And this hospital deals with no, you know, none of the drugs or anything that actual hospitals in the West deal with. And what they did was they surrounded this woman. She believed, and let me say it again, because people got a hard time with that word believe, right, because everybody is so factamundo these days, right? She believed that it would work. And I talked about this before on the last show, Dylan, with the placebo effect. So you can throw cats as many stones as you want to at belief, but science has proven that belief can alter events in the physical body just from believing a certain thing is going to happen to you. This woman was surrounded by these doctors who she believed, right, was going to be able to get rid of this tumor. These doctors surrounded her, began chanting these, and this is documented. You can actually view this and read about it. They began chanting these words that suggested in their subconscious mind over and over again that she was already healed. Even though she was sitting there and the tumor was still visible, in their mind's eye, they tapped into the quantum field and said, "We feel as if she's already healed." And they chanted there over and over and over again, and you just see this tumor dissolving inside of this woman's body as they continue to chant deeper and deeper and deeper. And it's the science behind the language and whatnot, but I just wanted to use that as an example to show people that what happens when people come together collectively, because it was a room full of doctors, three or four doctors surrounding this woman, and they performed what medical science would literally call a miracle. Imagine what you can do in the thousands, tapping into that same quantum reality, making things show up and disappear in this reality.
Okay, so this is where there's a sort of a, I'm glad you mentioned that. This is where there's sort of a discrepancy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we left the era of all these organizations, and, you know, because of the internet, I guess people are leaving certain organizations and just, you know, doing the research for themselves. But for, you know, we've been here forever through organizations, through these quote-unquote master teachers, the power of words, the power of mantras, the power of saying, don't pray to this God, don't pray to this God. Pray, you have to say this God this way. You have to say this word 300 times in one given day, and magic will occur for you. So this is the scenario I want to present you with. And you're saying that you're talking about feeling and belief. Now, if you have a scenario, and before I say this, we're learning that the universe communicates to us through feelings via electromagnetic energy. So with that being said, if you have two brothers that say in a prayer to God, the universe, whatever you want to call it, infinite source, the source, there's many different names. One God prays to God and calls the God Osiris and reads the and says the prayer in the ancient Metu Neter, the ancient language of the Kemites. The other brother says the prayer in English, and he's praying to Jesus. And you have a sect of people saying Jesus never existed. And matter of fact, let me throw this on there while I'm saying this. Matter of fact, he's looking at a white Jesus while he's praying.
Mm-hmm.
So the brother's looking at a white Jesus while he's praying. The other brother's saying the prayer in the Metu Neter, with you know, through the ancient language. Who does the universe hear? Does it matter the words that they use, or is it the feeling emitted through that prayer? If that brother praying in that white Jesus, if he believes strong enough in that white Jesus who may have never existed, does the universe still hear his prayer, or does the universe say, you're not using the correct words and the picture is inappropriate, so I can't communicate back to you? Or does the universe feel his feel?
The universe doesn't care about the picture. Listen.
So we care about the picture and we care about the words then. That's
absolutely. Now I will say this too, though. I'm glad this is a great question, man. The deal is this. The feeling amplifies what originates from the idea or from the mind. That is what's going to bring it into manifestation. It's like when you're dealing with feeling, right? We're dealing with the element of water, right? Because when you think emotions, you think feeling, you think the element of water, you think the moon, because you know we study the science of astrology too. So when you think about all these things, right? And you look at, because I want to show you how the feeling is the grounding agent. And when I say the grounding agent, I mean the buck stops at the feeling. That's what's going to generate the response. When you look at water, right, because everything is synonymous dealing with these laws of correspondence, right? When you look at the moment when a sexual act is about to take place, right, and you're dealing with a female's reproductive organs, it becomes moist. There's moisture there. She's about to receive an idea from the man that you call his seed. She's about to receive this idea that's loaded with all of this data. All of this imagery is already encoded into this seed. But there has to be an element of water there to receive the idea. Right? Then at the moment where she's about to have the child, what happens, Rich? The water bag breaks. Which is symbolizing what? Now that the water has broken, now the ultimate manifestation of that idea is now about to be brought out into the objective world. So water, even when you look at water when it rains and it's thunderstorming, water always looks to find the lowest place to rest. So it's always looking to find the lowest denominator. What is the final of finals that where things are being brought into this reality, right? So the feeling alone, the imagery is important, but that's part of the person's imagination that we talked about on the previous show. And we know that the imagination can create whatever it wants to.
Right.
It is the feeling that is going to perpetuate and bring into this world whatever the imagery was, or quote unquote the idea that was brought forth in manifestation from the user or from the creator itself. So it doesn't matter who you're going to pray to, which deity you want to use. And I don't want people to be mistaken, because I'm talking about a whole other level of manifesting and science. I'm not dealing with the, all the mind control stuff. I'm not talking about none of that.
Right.
I'm talking straight science. I'm not talking about all of the chains and the roadblocks and all that other stuff. That ain't what I'm here to discuss. I like to talk about taking people to the next plateau, so that they can realize themselves as God down here and be able to create whatever it is that they want to create using these tools. So, that's really not. It's primarily how do you feel about it? How strong is your conviction that in what you're seeing in your mind's eye is going to predicate whether or not it's brought into this reality or not?
I think that's you answered that excellently, and I guess it's kind of sort of saying on a microscopic level, like when you have the woman waiting for that man's seed, I guess the feminine aspect will be the feeling, and the seed that it's waiting for is the thought. The thought
Absolutely.
And the feeling produces the child, which is physical reality. So
Absolutely.
Mother and father, mother feeling, father thought, child reality. You know what I'm saying? So it's some deep stuff, brother. I want to ask you about this. One of the bestsellers on the New York Times bestsellers list, Power Up Now. Some people understand it, some people don't. But for the last decade or so, people have been talking a lot about the power of now and staying in the present and not thinking about the future. Or not thinking about the past or worrying about the future. What does the power of now mean to Minister Jude?
Well, I think the power of now in Minister Jude's mind symbolizes
You're breaking up, Minister Drew.
Oh, can you hear me? Can you hear me better now?
Yeah.
Okay, good. I think in Minister Jew's mind, the power of now is simply stating, you know, what they put on the market.
Wait. You're breaking up again, brother. You're breaking up again.
Uh-oh. All right. Can you hear me better now?
A little better. Not like how it was in the beginning, though.
Okay, maybe I have to step out.
Perfect now. Perfect now. Yeah, perfect now.
Okay, it's better now?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. So the power of now is basically saying that you need to be in the moment, at the moment. It's kind of sort of like the saying in the scriptures where it says, being still and knowing that I'm God. I think that phrase in and of itself is where you collect yourself in that moment to figure out what it is that you want to do moving forward. I always think that as creators, right, we have to be proactive and be able to see what it is that we want to pull into this reality or attract to ourselves. You know what I mean? So I hear that dialogue, but from my experience based upon the things that I've been able to do in my life using this science that I talk about, it works better for me when I'm able to constantly be very specific about what it is that I want and start going in on these practices in order to draw it closer to me. So I hear that slogan a lot, and I don't knock it because some people may get results from it, but I haven't really utilized it to the degree that a lot of people are reading into it and utilizing it for themselves because I haven't been an avid practitioner of that particular philosophy.
I want to talk about money for a second. Well, we're talking about money because we're talking about us, so we are the money. But yeah, I guess you know what I'm saying. You know, the dollar bills that everybody's trying to acquire. You know, some people say that to manifest money, sometimes, you know, everybody wants to manifest money.
Mm-hmm.
There's schools of thought that says in order to manifest money, sometimes you don't have to think about money. You have to think about, you could think about freedom, the emotion of freedom. When somebody thinks about freedom, they're thinking about just doing whatever they want, being free, moving. They may think about flying. They may think about just being worry-free. But what this school of thought is saying, if you want to manifest something, they're saying think about the emotion that something creates, because that something is a circumstance. Emotions create circumstances. So if you want to manifest money, think about freedom and peace. If you just it's kind of like that person saying, man, I got to think about money. What the fuck am I thinking about freedom and peace for? They're saying you can simply meditate, go to the park. Look at water falling and experience the peacefulness, because when you get money, what it does sometimes to people is it alleviates stress and they don't have to worry. So they feel a little freer. They could pay bills. Maybe they could take their wife out to dinner. Maybe they could take their kids somewhere. Maybe they could go on a trip to Egypt with Ashwa Kwesi. So when some people get these finances, it alleviates certain stress in their life, and they're able to free, less constrained, and they're able to maneuver and move around better. So the school of thought is saying it's okay to think about the money, but you can also think about the emotion of freedom and peace, and that will equate to money coming into your life. What do you think about that school of thought?
Well, you have to put yourself in a position where you're living as if the wish is already fulfilled.
Right.
That's the state. That is the state in order to which to manifest. Now, you answered the question. All of those things that you described, those are the things that you need to have in your awareness, right? When you're trying to manifest these dollars into your life, you have to see what things would I benefit from? What else would I be able to do with my time if I had more freedom, if I didn't have to go hit the clock, if I didn't have to do whatever? You know what I mean? if I was circulating finances in and out of my circle. You see what I'm saying? So you have to start thinking about and being very specific about the things that you want out of life. And like you said, not just thinking about the actual dollar amount, even though I've seen that happen. It was a show, I think it was in 97, Jim Carrey came on the Oprah show at the time, and he was talking about the rules and the laws of visualization. And at that time, Oprah wasn't on no game like that. She went into the Deepak Chopra thing. She wasn't really on it like that. And he came on and he was like, nobody really is. Nobody really thought I was really good. So I decided to make me a check out to myself for $10 million. And he said on the check he put for acting services rendered. And he said he would put it in his pocket. And he said he used to ride around out in California and look at these homes and stuff that he would like to live in, even though he knew he couldn't afford it. He said he would do it every day. And he said on the check, he made it out for 3 years in advance for $10 million for acting services vendor. Do you know 3 years to the week? Because he made it out for Thanksgiving, 3 years in the future, kind of broke the fake check. Three years later, Jim Carrey got his break for the movie Dumb and Dumber, and they paid him $10 million to do that movie.
Wow.
So, and I want to give another example. So I'm not saying that you cannot think about the money, but it's good for you to think about what it is that you can do and what it is that you want with the money, like rolling around looking at those homes. That was something that $10 million could go toward. You know what I mean? You have to think about what are you going to use it for. And those are the things that you need to put in your mind's eye, and what they call the bridge of incident will find its way to you. You'll hear something somebody's talking about, or you get a phone call from somebody. It's going to be an unexpected source that walks into your life, and mind you, you have to be repetitious with this thing over and over and over again, because the mind and the subconscious mind is acting like the developing room in your own mind. So you have to consistently drop this image down into this solution over and over and over again to get the image that you're looking for. But it is a science, man, and once we understand it, we can utilize it in many ways, man. So I say, yes, you can think about the money, but it's better to be very, very specific about what you can use it for, because you can gain more of a feeling from that just in thinking about the money. You know, if you see your family in a home and they're secure, you know what I mean? You can gain a deeper feeling of sincerity and appreciation for that versus just thinking about the physical money. It helps generate and elevate the feeling, you know?
Right. I agree. I think it's important for the person to find out what generates that feeling for them. That's the beautiful thing about being intuitive and having a connection with that source, is that, you know, everybody's different, so we all know what generates that feeling if we're honest with ourselves, you know? So I guess everybody has to find what generates that feeling. That's another beautiful thing about this era we're living in, where – you know, we're going more, we have a better relationship with a higher self, a more intuitive relationship with a higher self, opposed to going to the master teacher all the time. Because what works for the master teacher may not work for you. So I think it's important everybody finds out what works for them. But I want to touch on a topic that a lot of people go through, Minister Jew, once they, you know, and like you said, we're dealing with science here, Minister Jew. We're not dealing with philosophy or, you know, religion or, you know, something to make you, you know, something dogmatic. This is like, it is what it is. We're dealing with frequency, resonance, you know, these terms that we're using. Minister Jew, there's situations that occur. A person raises their frequency to a certain level. They're feeling good. They're feeling great, Minister Jew.
They feel like they're on top of the world, Minister June. Now, somebody in their life, in their circle, family, friends, it could be a wife, could be a husband, it could be whoever. They're experiencing hurt. They're experiencing pain. They're experiencing discomfort. They come to you with it. Now, the person that's on top of the world wants to give a lending hand, but they don't want to give too much of a lending hand because they may drop down to the frequency of the person they're helping. So they're saying, oh, man, I want to be compassionate for this person, but after hearing this person on the phone for 2 hours tell me about all their drama, all their problems, I feel bad now. And I just felt like motherfucking Superman an hour ago. Now I feel horrible. This dude or this woman just told me 15 different bad stories. So people are trying to find the lane where you could, you know, you could be compassionate for your fellow being without getting caught in that frequency or without lowering your frequency to the extent where you go from feeling like Superman or Superwoman to just feeling down and out. So where's the line, where's the thin line between helping somebody and not hurting yourself?
Well, I never want to tell a person to be insensitive to somebody who they care about. However, there is a line that you draw when you see yourself being pulled in into that energy vortex. Now, this science that we're talking about can be applied not only to for money. This can be applied to health and any other aspect that we want to apply it to. Me and Ampu, Noble Ampu, we do it all the time. And you should see how it actually works. When you pray for somebody else, and here's the science. If you're not aware of this quantum reality, then it doesn't apply the same. It's just like, you know, if somebody doesn't know how to work a microwave, they're not going to be able to use it. You know, even though they got all these buttons are there, I can come in and be able to facilitate this thing with no problem because I understand the function. You have to understand the function of a thing before you can pick up the tools and be able to use it. You might get some results haphazardly just because, you know, that's just the nature of the device that you're using. But in order to really be able to be a pro and to master it, you must understand the function and the dynamic of how a thing operates. So saying that, because that's the level that I'm speaking from, you can use this science to lift that person up just by doing the visualization that they are in such a state. That's how you help your friend. That's how you help your friend, to bring them up in that state. And before you know it, the next day they'll be calling you somebody, you know what, I feel better. Because I'm going to tell you something, the man whose imagination is alive, and I mean alive, and knows that it is God, other people in their circumference, and not just in their immediate circumference, it, depending on your magnetism, this thing can stretch out from city to city. I've seen it. Mm-hmm. And maybe when we get an opportunity, Rich, we can build, and then I can come on and share with people. But people whose imagination are not at the level or the pitch to understand that they are the creators of their world become subject to the one who does know that. Mm. So that's why I say you have to use this thing wisely and always have love first in your heart, because you wouldn't want to use it in a negative way unless you, well, like I said in the first show, are using it to defend yourself. But in the case with your friend, lift them up in your mind. Right, I was reading a study on prayer, right, and this benefits the user too who's doing it. They took this individual, these people, and said, listen, group A, we want you to pray for the people in group B. But the people in group B, Rich, they didn't even know how these people looked. They didn't even know these people's names. It was just a control group. When they did the prayer for these people, there were no results. Group B still remained in the same condition in the hospital. Well, they decided, let's take group A to go meet the people in the hospital, group B, and they saw these people, they got names of these people, but the people in Group B who were getting prayed for didn't know that these people were praying for them. Do you know when they went back and actually did the prayer with the people in mind, now because they had an image of the individual and a name attached to the individual, they saw dramatic changes in temperament and also physical ailment increase in the patients who had been prayed for, and the people who were doing the prayer, their moods increased because of the phenomenon. So when you understand that we're energetic beings, right, this becomes a two-way street and a mutual reception thing where we're able to exchange energy to one another. Even if one person is sending the energy, it operates as a reflecting agent and comes right back to you because you are the source, you see? Just like when you're talking to them and they feeling bad, don't you get pulled down into that situation? Same thing. Same scenario.
So I guess that's how Christ tells people going through the quantum world.
Man, listen.
And not the objective world. The key is to always go to the subjective world, huh?
You have to always go to the subjective world. Until we map that out in our consciousness and go over and over and over again in that direction, we are going to keep running short. I want to, if we got time, Rich, I want to give people an example of how real this is real quick so people can see that this thing called the quantum, this space and time gap in between this thing depends upon the emotion of an individual. It's two situations. It's a current one and it's an old one. I start with the old one first. It was a book written by Morgan Roberson called Futility in 1898. All right? He was a struggling author and looking to, put a book out that would get him some acclaim, to generate some revenue. In this book in 1898, he built a ship and in this book called Futility, this big old cruise liner sinks in the North Atlantic. In the book, it also ran into an iceberg. This is the way that it sank. It was 800 feet in length, and it was able to go 25 knots of speed. It was described as unsinkable. On the boat, in the book, it had a shortage of lifeboats. The capacity of the boat in the book was 3,000 people. It struck the iceberg on the way to, what did they call it, the Newfoundland, right, 460 miles away, right? And on this boat, half of the crew died. And the boat held like 2,300 people, so like 1,300 people died on the boat. Well, 14 years later, now remember, this is a quote-unquote fiction book, right? 14 years later, a boat was built went across the Atlantic, sank on the Atlantic, ran into an iceberg, was 882 feet in length, traveled 22.5 knots at speed, crashed in the month of April, could carry the capacity of 3,000 people, et cetera, et cetera. Everything was identical to this boat called the Titanic, Rich.
Wow.
In the book Futility that came out in 1898, the boat crashed in the month of April in the book. 14 years later, the same month, the exact same speed, the exact same passenger count, the exact same length, all of these same things, it crashed into an iceberg, headed to the same place, on the same body of water, it sank. But here's the kicker. The real name of the boat we know in history today is the Titanic. The boat in the novel Futility in 1898 was called the Titan.
Wow. Wow, that was excellent.
There's no fiction in the world. Imagination creates reality. This is what I'm trying to get over to people. So you got a group today who they're labeling as a terrorist organization, right? who is going by a certain name that represents another entity over here at one point that used to go by the same name, right? But when you look into the ideology behind the group, you'll see that a lot of the emotionalism that was built on the group here is mirroring what these people are doing abroad on a show me scale, on an objective level. So we have to be very, very mindful about the power of our minds. And once we understand that we are the gods of this world, we learn that we create events from our thoughts and our ideas merged with a certain level of emotional elevation, and then it's going to show up somewhere in the objective world. Now, our memories are so bad sometimes we can't remember when we stirred these things up, but it's going to show up. It's going to show up.
Well, I certainly like to thank you for coming on the program, Minister Jew. And, you know, we're going to continue with it. It was an amazing show. Let me ask you one more question before we wrap it up, Minister Jew, because I need to get this in there, and I want to see what you have to say about this. Something else that's on my – let me see. I have two, but I'm trying to figure out there's a saying, and I'm going to put the book on the screen when I'm showing it to you while I'm saying this. I think I mentioned his name last program, Neville Goddard. I advise everybody who's listening to look into his work, Neville Goddard. I mean, his books are absolutely amazing. But in one of his books, he says that you already are everything you want to be, and your refusal to believe this is the only reason you do not see it. And several years ago, I was having a phone conversation with Bobby Heaven when I was, you know, getting more and more into this type of information in quantum physics. I was having a conversation with Bobby Heaven on the phone. And Bobby Heaven was explaining to me how I exist outside the realms of space and time. And the only thing left for me to do was to celebrate. So at the time, I'm like, damn, that's all it is? Just celebrate? I mean, to the average person here, if you walk up to somebody and say, man, only thing left to do is celebrate, the average person would say celebrate. And at the time, I'm like, damn, well, I got this going on in my life, that going on in my life, this going on. Damn, that's all there's left for me to do is celebrate? So until you understand your multidimensional nature, you won't understand a comment like that, Minister Jew. But my question to you is, how important is it for us to understand our multidimensional nature? Because you have people saying, on one end, Neville or Bobby would say, listen, man, you're already everything you want to be. What the person will immediately do is to use their brain, and their brain will use logic, and logic will say, I don't have A, I don't have B, I don't have C, I don't have D, and I don't have E. How is that statement correct? It's impossible to be correct because my brain, my logic, my analytical ability just told me I don't have any of those things. So your brain, and it's like a little inner argument you have with yourself, where the brain tells you, what is this person talking about? But there's something deep inside you saying, dang, he's right, but I just don't know how to explain it to myself. I want you to explain that process in that inner dialogue we have with ourselves. It's like an inner argument. Can you just
Okay, yeah. Interesting. A couple of days ago, I was on Twitter, and I tweeted that to David Banner, almost exactly what you said, that, you know, because, you know, we're talking about black people, and we're talking about this condition black people have lumped themselves in. So that's the state that we've chosen to be in psychologically. Not knocking it, that's just, it is what it is. So if we're going to address that state, we're not going to be able to address it using the Mercurial principle. I don't care what you try to do on that level in this world, you're not going to get to where you need to be against what you're calling your said oppressor. is not going to happen through that medium. You're going to have to go into the realm of Neptune, the realm of the unseen. You're going to have to go into that opposition that we call in astrology 12th house versus the 6th house because, you know, Virgo is ruled by Mercury, Pisces is ruled by Neptune, the 12th and 6th house. It's just 180 degrees, they're opposite one another. So when a person is talking to you that way, like, they're operating from a Neptunian place. Now, you can use it with your mercurial mind and your logic if you awaken to the fact that you're a god in the flesh and that you create your reality through your imagination. That's when it becomes plausible and usable because you're able to see tangible things show up in your reality from using that gift that you have to reawaken as God in this reality. If you don't use it in that sense, right, then it's always going to seem like a bunch of babble and you're not going to be able to understand it and or express it. But in this world, if we're going to have any form of revolution, is going to have to come through the seal on the wheel, which is that 12th house energy and the Neptunian force. That's how this thing is going to move and shape. So if you don't understand it from that level, you're never going to get it. You're going to always be stuck dealing with your rationale and your logic. But like I tell people all the time, when you look at things on this planet, when you know they got planets that are made of nothing but diamonds. Like, this, what you think is impossible is nothing to the universal field or the universal mind or God or whatever term you want to use. So if we can understand that anything can be created, anything can be created, right, then we have to use Mercury and rational and logic for what it's for. But when it's time to step up to play on a big scale, we have to go Neptunian and be able to create from nothing, but and know that everything exists and everything is possible to exist out of that state of awareness. So, you know, that's really the best way that I can answer that, man. You have to know how to use it. You have to know how to create using what Neville would say or Bobby would say is your universal self, your 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th dimensional self. You have to be able to use it plausibly in this reality through the Mercurial principle, through these steps, through understanding the function and learning these things, which is a Mercurial thing. But outside of that, if you don't apply it, then you'll never understand it. You'll never understand it.
Once again, I'd like to thank you for coming on the show, Minister Ju. At this time, I would like for you to leave your contact information. Any your websites, whatever, social media, anything you want to leave for the people to get in contact with you and learn more about you, brother.
Oh, man, I appreciate it, Rich, man. As always, man, beautiful bill with you, man. I wanted to say thanks again. But to the people out there who's listening, visit me on theneuronnetwork.com and myastrologycoach.com. We got a phenomenal, phenomenal workbook coming out in the next 20 days called the Mystic Brains Workbook. Anatomy 101, we're going to get people acclimated with this brain science so that we can take them into the mystical level. But first, we want you to understand some of the regular functions of the brain so that when we get into the mystical aspect and how the electricity starts to move in the brain, when you start reorganizing your consciousness, how things start to change for you in this reality, you're going to have to get that workbook first. So that's first up. So visit the website, go to shop, you'll be able to see it there. Also, visit the website, myastrologycoach.com. We're going to Orlando, Florida for the spring equinox. So get yourself together early. We got plenty of time, but don't wait till the last minute. Act. You know what I mean? Plan in advance so that you can be there. It's going to be phenomenal. We're doing the skydive when we get there. We're going to jump out the plane from 11,000 feet up. We're expressing to people, release your fears. You have to let go. Release your fears. Everything that you think you can't do, the limitations, let it go because that's what's stopping you from imagining the greatest. That's what's stopping you from realizing that I am, you see. So we're stepping into that arena. We're going to do some jet skiing. We're going to do a fire meditation on the beach. It's going to be off the chain. I'm going to be lecturing down there, give it a full-blown imagination workshop. Noble's going to be dealing with the heart and the coherence, the global coherence, and it's going to be called the I Have Workshop, which is an acronym for happiness. What do we call it? Happiness as a virtue empowerment. Come and get you a happiness as a virtue empowerment. We want people to understand that it's all right to be happy. Change your mood, because that should dictate your circumstances. Your circumstances shouldn't dictate your mood. So when you learn that, you'll be able to apply it and you'll see your life change for the better. Outside of that, man, that's pretty much it, man. And, you know, just visit the website, man, when you go over to Neuron Network or My Astrology Coach, leave your emails over there. We send out messages every month to stay abreast with us for what we got going on, what we got coming up. And I think that's pretty much it, man.
Well, hey, man, once again, thank you, brother, being on the show. You know, this is my love right here, this quantum talk, you know, this heart talk, this feeling talk. You know, when I ask my questions, I make sure I ask them with a certain emotional intention with them, so that it's not just a question. I want a person to feel me. I don't want my listeners to hear me. I want them to feel me when I ask my questions, and that way the interview will go better and things will resonate better with them. So, you know, rewind this, listen to it again. Look up Neville Goddard. And that's going to lead you to many more things. This Underground Railroad, Brother Rich Minister June, we signing out, y'all. Peace.
Peace.
Enhance your mind. Recharge your spirit. Awaken your soul. Enhancing Awareness Radio. Enhancing awareness with clarity.
All right, guys. Welcome back. Welcome back. How you guys like that? Minister Jew and, you know, Brother Rich is an amazing duo, an amazing team, man. They got so much, you know, wisdom out there. I encourage all you guys to check out the YouTube video that's in the notes. You guys can refer to the original YouTube there. And also you can link out, you know what I'm saying, to different YouTubes that they actually did together. You know what I'm saying? You can follow their channel. I believe I forgot the channel name. Yeah, I don't have it right out, but you'll see it. But yeah, subscribe to your channel. And yeah, man, Brother Rich was doing the damn thing back in the 90s and early 2000s, you know what I'm saying, on his platform. So absolutely. So guys, some takeaways, you know what I'm saying? I just want to say this. Emotions is emotions, emotions, emotions. A lot of times, you know, we are, you know, it poses the question, you know, how did emotions get such a bad rap? You know what I'm saying? And it poses also to something that, you know, our team is working on this week, you know what I mean? And that's shadow work, you know what I'm saying, when it comes to shadow work. And I think over the weekend, or probably Saturday, I'm going to be doing one of these Grand Rise of Motivations on shadow work, you know what I'm saying, because, you know, shadow work is very important. And, you know, why is shadow work so shunned in our society? You know what I'm saying? We're taught that we're not supposed to feel, especially the men, you know what I'm saying? We're taught, you know, that's weak, that's gay, you know, vulnerability, you know, is not your strength, you know what I'm saying? That's a weakness. When everything that we've been taught is actually quite the opposite, you know what I'm saying? So when it comes to the classroom of emotions, because all of us have to go to this life class of emotions and feelings, you know what I'm saying? And a lot of us spend our whole lives attempting to avoid this particular class, when indeed we have to master this class, right? So, guys, I encourage you to feel, you know what I'm saying, whatever it is. Feel, where did this feeling come from? You know, right, I'm a stickler and telling all my clients and all my friends, you know what I'm saying, write everything down. You know, you should see my office right now. I mean, it's paper everywhere, you know what I'm saying, because I write all my shit down. You know what I'm saying, write it down. I promise you, you are casting spells, but it's something about when you write it down, especially if you're doing an actual ritual, you know. But if you just write it down, guys, it's so much more powerful. But we have to feel, you know what I'm saying? But if it's an unwanted emotion, you know, we always ask ourselves, you know, where did this come from? Why is this emotion here? is it indeed a bad emotion? You know what I'm saying? This whole concept of good and bad is bullshit. You know what I mean? Bullshit. And a lot of times we suffer, a lot of our suffering comes from the past. A lot of our suffering comes from the future. How many of y'all today in this moment are worrying about some shit from yesterday? You know what I'm saying? How many of y'all are, you know, worried about, you know, you don't have your rent for next month? You know what I'm saying? Whatever it is, a future event. But how many of y'all are really living in the now moment? You know what I'm saying? What are you doing in the now moment to create and magnetize, as Minister Jew was saying? You know what I'm saying? You have to be a magnet for abundance to come to you. That's the key. See, a lot of us don't know how to do that. That's why we're so trapped in this whole matriarch thinking and mindset. You know what I'm saying? It's all holographic mindfuck bullshit, as my friend Renee Hamilton says. Renee Hamilton is also in the archives as well. He came on the show and he did a powerful segment when it comes to the imagination. You know what I mean? So they spoke about imaginations. In imagination, you know what I'm saying? To me, imagination is God. You know what I'm saying? Because you can create. You have a beautiful canvas to create. You know what I'm saying? Whatever it is that you want to create. So, you know, indeed, magnetism, you know, is it a universal law of magnetism? Anyway, so some of the key points outside of what I've just discussed is always feeling this pressure emotions, no matter what it is. We need to let go of, you know, judging if it's good or bad or whatever. Just feel it. Just note it. Where did it come from? What's the root of this? You know what I'm saying? Does this make me feel good? You know, how can I balance this in harmony? You know, we must pass this life past emotions, always trust your gut instinct, intuition, you know, learn to live in the power of now. Eckhart Tolle is a great author of a book called The Power of Now. A lot of you guys don't know how to live in the power of now. I encourage you to definitely get that book about the power of now. It's an awesome, awesome, awesome book. What else? Jim Carrey, The Law of Attraction. Oh my fucking God. Like, study Jim Carrey and The Law of Attraction. That's all I gotta say. You know what I'm saying? I think I'm gonna do a morning motivation on it because that is so powerful. For him about Jim Carrey, excuse me, writing that check. You know what I'm saying? He wrote that check, you know, about man, anyway, it's a great story. Jim Carrey, Law of Attraction, type it in YouTube. And also, McGregor or O'Connor, the one that fought, hold on, I'm going to look it up on YouTube right now. So, y'all, McGregor, you know what I'm saying? Type in his name, Law of Attraction. He has an amazing, see guys, what y'all don't know is that a lot of these celebrities, they know the magic. They understand the universal laws. You know what I'm saying? A lot of them practice the universal laws. That's their secret. You want to know how they made it to stardom? They know the universal laws. I promise you. If you pull them to the side, Conor McGregor, I think his name is. Conor McGregor, yeah. There we go. Yeah, Conor McGregor, Law of Attraction. Man, say. But anyway, they know. Yeah, I'm going to definitely do this for y'all. I'm going to download it right now. So, yeah, they definitely understand and overstand the Law of Attraction. And they understand the inner workings of Law of Attraction and how it works. Minister Jew and Brother Rich also have a lot of great videos when it comes to manifesting money. That's a great one, I promise you. Oh, man. It's so much wisdom out here, y'all. It's so much knowledge out here, y'all. You know what I'm saying? We just got to get it. You know, we just got to really be serious about our shit. You know what I'm saying? My team know. You know, look, I mean business. You know what I'm saying? Keith, he plays. He's petty. You know, he can do this and he can do that. He's fun. But when Keith is about business, he is a whole nother beast. You know what I'm saying? Because I understand the Law of Attraction. I'm still learning because there's levels to this shit, you know. But when it comes to the business model and the business mindset, I'm a whole nother beast because I don't play no games. And anything that my heart desires, we will manifest. I will manifest. We will manifest because our whole team is going to eat, right? So anything that we think, any thought that we have will be manifested, period, right? All right, so what else? Power Now book, Study of the Law of Attraction, Jim Carrey, Conor McGregor, yes. Try not to lure your freaks. Yeah, when it comes to energy vampires, I learned you have to study. You know what I'm saying? You have to, like they say in the Art of War, the book of the Art of War, you know, you have to study your enemy. You know what I'm saying? You have to study your enemy. You have to know how their mind works, right? You know, so if you're in marriages, you know what I'm saying, where you feel like, you know, you're married to your enemy or whatever, you know what I'm saying, you have to understand the inner workings of who it is that you've attracted, you know what I'm saying? And then you have to literally create yourself out of it, right? Because when it comes to energy and vibration, you know what I'm saying, a lot of times we're not matches, you know what I'm saying, for these low vibratory energies, right? So we have to study their mind. We have to know how to vibrate higher, right? So energy, there's a I think I did a Grand Rising Motivation on energy vampires. So you can go back and you can look at the archives, or you can look up Ralph's More Energy Vampires. But I'm telling you guys, we have to study. There's no sleeping. You know what I'm saying? You can sleep in when you get ready to, you know, transition into your next incarnation. You can rest then, okay? But until then, you know what I'm saying? You know, we have to do the work. And know that, you know, your imagination is God. God is the imagination, the true imagination. So I hope you guys enjoyed that. A lot of great information. You know, you can also catch the replay. You know, if you want to contact me again, all my information is in the show notes. You know, if I am an oracle and I do sessions, you can catch my website at www.enhancingawareness.net. Thanks, everybody who has supported us so far. This show has – this broadcast, as Shari would correct me, has grown so much. You know, I mean, this platform alone, within a month's time, guys, I mean, all December, y'all gotten some bomb-ass shit. You know what I'm saying? I mean, for real, for real. Starcast 12 fucking host. You know what I'm saying? Like, WeTheBomb.com. But thanks for everybody for your support. It has been amazing. And again, guys, we have a retreat coming up. And I want you guys to follow our Facebook group for more updates on that. The retreat, it's still in formation stages. We're thinking about a cruise maybe. Ultimately, it may be a cruise that we do. But if not, it would be something by the water. But whatever it is, it's going to be great, right? So, you know, always know when you don't just say that you're feeling fine when you know you're a hot mess. Don't tell people that you're okay when you know you're a fucking mess and you're dying inside. You know, be honest about your feelings. You know what I'm saying? You never know who could help you or who's sent to help you. But if you keep turning them away by lying about how you really feel inside, or you don't even open your mouth to ask for help, you know what I mean? You're going to continue to play victim. You're going to continue to die inside. You know what I'm saying? So not only just be honest to others, you know, be honest with your motherfucking self, as the White Jolly says, Fridays, 7 p.m. Central Standard Time on Enhancing Awareness Radio, help you find your truth, you know, as he states, you know what I'm saying, don't lie to your goddamn self, you know what I'm saying, many of us are lying to our motherfucking selves, and why, I mean, that is the most deadliest mind fuck and parasite program that, you know, to mankind. You know what I'm saying? So we're going to go out with some Chrisette, Michelle, and Coldplay. I hope you guys, again, enjoyed this show. And, yeah, peace and love. Enjoy me probably tomorrow at 10 a.m. But, again, follow the show. Follow our Facebook group. All the information is there. And, yeah, stay tuned. All right, guys. Enjoy y'all New Year's. Enjoy this day. Let me just say that. If it's New Year's to you, whatever it is to you, just enjoy this day and be safe, all right? Peace and love until next time. Do we have a show tonight? Ja Miller. Oh, God. Yeah, Ja Miller is tonight. Ja Miller and Dr. Haru El Bay, you know, from Alchemy Temple, you know, and they're going to be talking about the birth canal and pretty much about the whole birth thing. And also they're going to be talking about, like, who are your spirit guides? You know, where are your spirit guides? Are they chosen? I'm pretty sure he's going to get into about us choosing our parents, all that good stuff. Matter of fact, I'm going to ask them personally on, you know, that particular question, do we choose our parents, and if he can go into that. So, guys, tonight at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 7 Central, please stay tuned for that powerful show, because that's going to be powerful. Ja Miller has awesome shows on The Craft Keeper. So, yeah, make sure you follow on our Facebook group again, guys. I'm telling you, we go down up in there. All right, guys, love, peace and love. Thanks, Tiki. Hope you have a good day too, love. Peace and love.
One with the element, becoming one with the element.